Welcome to Talk Wealth to Me, a safe space podcast where we chat about anything and everything related to personal finance.
The information contained in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute as accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
Doing good.
I'm super excited and pumped up to talk about flipping the script today. I think there's nothing better than this time of year, right? Going into the new year, we're in the holiday season, and the way we look at things can really determine so many things when it comes to our emotions and the decisions we make.
Oh, yeah. Even like not just with money too, but if you think about it, back in March or April, and the idea of staying at home until November, December, I didn't know if I was going to make it. Like, it just seems so long, but I'm doing it. I did it. And I think it's kind of one of those things, like you just kind of find different ways to process things or just handle the stuff that gets thrown at you.
No doubt. I mean, in this, especially this year, I mean, with so much unknown and so much time with ourselves and our thoughts, it's, and even going where we are now in December, going forward, we still don't know when life is going to be quote unquote, quote normal. And, you know, how normal is it that we're in, the positions we're in now? Your mind really has so much with how we deal with this, right?
Yeah, well, 2020 has been like the longest year and the shortest year all in one. It's just been such an odd year that, you know, we mentioned changing the mindset. 2020 has changed a lot of people's mindsets, whether they were ready for it, looking for it or not. You know, people have different perception of a lot of things, finances included, just because of everything that's happened in 2020.
Katie, I know that you recently wrote a blog about this very subject. So what was the inspiration for it? And let's kind of go through that whole process.
You know, I was thinking about it, and on the show, and even off the show, we've talked about how one of the stories that I've told myself and I've told other people is that I'm bad at math, I'm bad with money. And I just kind of took it like, well, that's just the story. That's just how it was written. It has always been that way. It always will be that way. And I really started listening to what you guys were saying, what our guests were saying. And so many people have been in far worse financial situations than I've ever been in. And they've managed to achieve financial success, financial freedom. So I really started digging into it. And I found that there's such thing as a money mindset or a money script. So basically what that means is, like a film or like literature, there's a story playing in our heads 24/7 that tells us how we handle our money, how we save our money, how we invest our money, whether or not we can even keep our money, or if we're not to be trusted holding even $5. And as it turns out, because you did not pop out of the womb believing that story, you can change it. And so I found out there are three different money archetypes. So the first is the most common type of mindset. It's called the scarcity mindset. And that is the idea of there is and there never will be enough money. And that's kind of the one that I had fallen into. But there's also a good enough archetype, and that is, I have what I need. I'm doing just fine right where I am. So those are the people that they may not have debt, or their debt may not be too bad, but they're not necessarily worried about it. They're not necessarily trying to pay it off faster. They're not necessarily worried about the amount of money that they may be paying in interest rates.
They're just content where they are.
Yeah, just super content, not looking to go higher, not looking to move back, just almost like a Goldilocks, just perfect right where I am. And then there's the people that think in terms of limitless abundance. So I need to have it all. I want to have it all. And these are the people that, yes, some of these people become millionaires and billionaires, but these are also the people that maybe traveled to 57 different countries and funded it by splitting it on 9 different credit cards. and they have no idea how they're going to be able to afford rent or groceries. So there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on into our mindset of when we're dealing with money. But like I said, the cool thing is you can change it. So I want to play a game with you guys. Are you up for it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Love games.
So, okay. I want you guys to do this too if you're listening. So I'm going to say a sentence with a missing word, and I want you to just spit out the first word that comes to your mind, okay? Money is the root of all
evil.
Yeah, I would have said evil because of the word root, I think.
I think that's a phrase
I've heard before.
Yeah, you could have put anything instead of money, and I still would have said evil.
Earning money is
awesome.
Cool.
That's funny how you did that. You did that on purpose.
What?
You knew that we had heard the root of all evil before, so that's something that came right to our heads, right?
Well, hold on. Maybe. We're not done with the game.
Sorry.
And rich people are, fill in the blank.
Lucky.
Okay, good. We'll go with that one. So if you did say money is the root of all evil, or if you thought earning money is hard, money doesn't grow on trees, or rich people are bad, guess what? You are like the majority of people. You have a scarcity mindset. It's not a bad thing. It's just good to know where you are. Now, if you answered those questions a little bit differently, so like you said, rich people are lucky, or maybe you said rich people are giving. Money is the root of all freedom or opportunity. Earning money is easy, or money doesn't grow on inaction, then you actually have a more positive money story. And so that could be a sign that your scarcity mindset is starting to, what's the word I'm looking for? You're starting to shift that mindset a little bit. Yeah. So you're not as fixed. It's not as scarce. So you're starting to see that there are different possibilities that exist. And that is something that we don't always teach with financial literacy. But it is actually a growing part of financial literacy. It's how do you talk about money? How do you, like, if you get a, we talked about this when we were talking about self-care, but like, I just spent $10 on celery juice. I don't like celery juice. I think it tastes terrible, but it's really good for you. If I got mad at myself for spending $10 on a juice that I wasn't sure I was going to completely finish, I'm thinking it was scarcity, right? Because money is actually an energy. It's just how we're doing things, how we're exchanging things on this earth. So if you answered rich people are bad, you may have this idea like I once had that there are people that just kind of like hoard money or just sit on it and they don't want to share. Like almost like they went to the playground, someone came, wanted to play in the sandbox, they got mad, they took all their toys home with them. You don't have to do that with money.
That's interesting you say that because there's so many different, again, the money personalities, and there are types too, right? So because we talk about in a simpler case that there's spenders, there are savers, right? There are builders, and then there are givers, and tend to most people kind of live in that. They're either spenders or savers, right? There's those people, and that kind of flips right into the idea of scarcity mindset, right? And that's really interesting that you say that because you kind of want to be, I guess what you would consider healthy would be somewhere in between because you don't want to be a complete saver, right? You've got to be able to spend on something. You've got to be able to not just hoard all of it because that's kind of an issue too. And yet you don't want to be the spender like crazy where you're going to spend, you know, your mortgage and jam up your credit cards. There's got to be somewhere where you can look at life and the way you're looking at money. I guess, Katie, what you're saying is when a lot of people look at money just the way they look at life a bit, right? They're either, if you're scared, you're going to be scared in a lot of different ways.
A little bit. And part of it is the trick is that it's so subconscious. So 95% of the decisions that we're making every day occur on a subconscious level. So how you even feel about money, I think it was with our podcast, we were talking about how do you talk to your kids about money? It's like a child's relationship with money or how they view money, that is formed by the time they're like 7. So I'm 30. I have had my money story reinforced over and over and over again. And because it's been reinforced over and over again, I've come to believe it's true, right? But then, you know, like Felipe and I have also discussed the FIRE movement, the financial independence, retire early. There, I think it was, there was some guy that was eating, was it ketchup packets or like Taco Bell hot sauce packets,
yeah.
Felipe?
Yeah.
Like to save money?
Like the guy in the terminal.
Yeah. Like that is something that if you eating Taco Bell hot sauce packets makes you feel rich, I mean, I have a lot of questions for you because
I
would be looking at it too. Like, sure, you may have more money in the bank and your grocery budget or bill may look ridiculously cheap and you may look like you're just killing it in terms of budget grocery shopping. But what happens long term? What happens to your body? What's going to happen to your health bills when all you've been feeding your body is hot sauce?
That's not nourishment.
No. So I think like that's kind of something to consider too, is that with your finances, it's part of your whole holistic self. You know, like if you're going to fast food restaurants to try to save on money because it seems cheaper to go to Jack in the Box and to go to Vons or whatever, it may be cheaper today for this one day, but long-term, is it cheaper? And that's kind of the same thing with your money mindset. Today, you may think like, oh, rich people, I don't want to deal with them or they're bad or whatever. But if you think rich people are bad, are you going to prevent yourself from becoming rich? Are you going to sabotage your financial decisions so that you don't think of yourself as bad?
That is interesting because there's so many to all of them. There seems to be that positive and that negative where it becomes like you need to take a little bit from each one, you know, where it take the positives and leave the negatives behind.
Yeah. I've actually started playing a game with myself just to try to test to see if this will help me in terms of working toward my long-term financial goals. So I want to buy a house, but I'm also like so outfit fatigued right now. I want an entire new wardrobe. I want to like redecorate. I just have all these wants and I'm very much so distracted by the shiny, glittery objects on the website and in the sales email, all of that. So I've been playing this would you rather game. Would I rather get a new Fabletics box this month? Or do I want to apply that $65 toward a house? Is the $65 going to get me there next month? Maybe not. But all of those little things add up.
It's really interesting. That conversation I think we had with Eileen in our last podcast episode, and I was talking about Clay wanting to spend $5 to support some kid he follows on a gaming platform called, I'm not sure what it's called.
Twitch,
yes. And we had the conversation of sitting down and saying, well, Clay, is that really where you want to spend the $5 that took you some time to make, right? I mean, to earn. And he said, well, yeah, because I really like him. And right now, and I said, oh, that's it, right? You just said right now. Because 2 weeks from now, you're possibly going to want to support somebody else because you like them right then or right, you know, your current right now. And yet then, but that money's fleeting. It goes away. So you have to be able to say, well, this isn't worth it to me right now. And that's basically what you're saying about Fabletics, right? The shiny objects.
Well, kind of, because I see the Twitch thing a little bit differently. And this is, I'm bringing it
so
up.
So I'd love to know why.
Because I identify, I guess, as an artist. I've always been labeled like as a writer, artist, like performer. So as an artist, to see like a younger kid get excited about supporting another artist makes me excited because I truly believe that $5 going into the Twitch stream or whatever is going to go back into the community more than it would if Clay went and took that $5 and bought like a Nintendo game or whatever. I know Nintendo's
not $5.
I don't
know how this Twitch works then, I guess.
I don't really know either, but like my husband likes it too. And it's an entirely different world. And it blew my mind when my husband told me that the video game industry makes like double or triple what like movies and music make combined. It's astonishing.
I love video games. I just can't see where, like, I believe in Twitch, they watch the streaming and they watch other people play
video games.
Yeah. And as much as I love video games, I absolutely cannot, like, the idea of sitting there watching someone play video games doesn't register with me. I'm having a very difficult time understanding why Barrington wants to watch YouTube videos of people playing video games.
That's really a weird thing.
And then you know, then I start thinking about it. And it's like, I love watching sports. I could watch, you know, soccer and baseball and some college football, and I could watch that all day if I have nothing else to do. And he can't stand watching sports, too much to my dismay. It's that's what I like. That's what he likes. But it's a very interesting industry in that whole pay to like support thing. I still would probably side more with Chase and be like, well, are you sure? You know, you really wanted that PS5. Maybe you should put that $5 towards you getting to play the video game at some point down the road.
Well, that was my point. And I now, you know, I look at that side of what Katie is mentioning and paying it forward, so to speak. But at the same time, I want him to understand that the decisions he makes, that if he's making the decision to support that artist, and he's doing that in a way of like, he's not going to gain anything outside of just the feeling good that he's supporting somebody. Cause he said, I love his content. And that's crazy that my 12-year-old son uses a term and a word like content in this world, because obviously we are living in a world of a huge amount of content. My point is, as a father and somebody that's trying to teach somebody about money, is that money that that's fleeting. And you've made the decision to spend it there, and it's not coming back unless you're constantly earning it. Are you sure that you want to spend your money that you don't have an abundance of? Are you sure that's where it should be spent? And as he mentioned, what else am I going to do with my money right now? And you know, I didn't really have an argument.
I'm just curious, because I'm not a parent. What is that like? Because we always talk about personal finance is personal.
Yeah.
What is it like as a parent when your personal finance, I don't want to say like morality, but your goals don't align with your kids?
I can tell you that I find myself having to take my beliefs and my, even though I've lived a long time and I've got a whole lot of history that I can take from and experience, it's not his experience. And I don't have the experience of sitting down and playing video games for a long time. And as Phil, you just mentioned, watching other people play video games to me is mind-boggling. But obviously, it does strike a chord with his generation, because all of his buddies do it. And he obviously knows about this Twitch because he was introduced to it by them, and they get some pleasure out of it. So I find that I have to take myself out of what I think should be his money should be spent on, or what he should or shouldn't spend money on, and try to look at if he gives me an argument of why to him it is a good investment, so to speak, then who am I to tell him otherwise? If I'm going to give $5 to the San Diego Financial Literacy Center because I like what they do, that doesn't mean that I'm right versus somebody else that gives $5 to the San Diego Blood Bank. You know, we all have the personal fortitude to make the decisions that we want to based on what we get pleasure out of, what makes us feel better, what we have interests in. Just because I think my son is crazy to want to watch somebody else play a video game when he's got the same video game sitting right in front of him, who am I to make that decision for him? And I can't. All I can do is say, here are the tools to assess what making a sound decision would be. What he ultimately makes that decision on where it goes, it's got to be completely up to him. because
yeah, I think you're right, Katie. It's there's got to be that balancing act where you kind of inform and maybe even, you know, make a suggestion as to where they're gonna, like, okay, just let me just verify that this, you understand, especially, you know, Barrington's younger and he wanted to buy extra characters for Super Smash Bros. And to me, it was silly. You know, there's already 50 characters to pick from. Why are you going to, but then I remembered he doesn't spend money and he, this is probably only the second time ever he's asked to spend money or even volunteered after being suggested, like, you know, you could buy that yourself if you want it. His answer is usually, no, I'd rather keep my money. So this was the first time he was very excited. And I said, you know what? Go get me $7. And yes, you can purchase the added characters so that you can have those as well. And he was so excited to spend his $7 on what to me sounded like you don't need it. And it sounds silly, but he was just...
Did he hand you over the cash?
Oh, I made him go into his little jar and pick up the actual $7. Nice. And actually took him from him. Even though I already had the credits in the Nintendo account, because it's just easier to preload them, I made him give me the $7. Well,
that feeling of losing, or not losing, or the transaction spending itself, right?
Right.
Otherwise, it's just that just poof, that just happened.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And that's what my daughter looks at. So, Katie, but you know, I say that as rational in this podcast right now, but as a parent, I find that I don't handle that nearly as well all the time, because it's still emotional for me. And saying, as my dad used to use this word, he would say, that's falderol. Like that, and I hate that word because my dad used to say it to me a lot. And yet that's exactly what I think Clay's spending his money on, right? It's falderol. My daughter does the same thing. She plays this game that I'm not sure what it's called, but she wants to buy, and this is the world we live in video games, that it's, in fact, my son just walked in. What's that video game your sister plays?
Is it like Roblox?
Roblox. And she wants to buy Robux or whatever they're called. And so she wanted to spend $10 on that the other day. And she gets all excited about it because she gets these new things and features. And but that really drives me crazy, because that is the free game that these kids get to play. And then they just throw endless amounts of money on it because they can get new characters or new clothes or whatever it is. That is almost, Katie, our adult version of Amazon or Fabletics or whatever it is we spend our money on. Because it all, even though she's just throwing money in, and she's not really gaining anything from it except for instant gratification. Where at least you get something. You get to put on clothes, right?
And, you know, Barrington wanted to start playing that game, and he kept telling Sarah, you know, it's free. Mom, we can download it for free. You don't have to pay anything. Can I download it? I research everything before he downloads it. And then I saw what it was and the fact that there were sales on gift cards and all that stuff. Yeah. And I told Sarah, I was like, no, tell him no, because you know what's going to happen is he's going to have the game, it's free, and then he's going to want to either spend his money or continuously ask, can I go buy more credits?
He's going to get better at it, and he's going to need all these features to get better at it, and so they keep paying these things.
But then I think
it's
about
brilliant.
It.
I wish I would have come up with
about
it.
And I signed up for Masterclass yesterday. You know, who's to say that makes any sense? You know, to him, I tried to, hey, buddy, you want to watch this video on... He says he wants to write songs someday. So I said, look, I got Alicia Keys teaching you how to write songs. And he was like, yeah, maybe later. It was, even though it was a topic that he's interested in, he thought the idea of sitting there watching the video just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Robux. She just got home from school.
Sometimes I think, though, too, I'm definitely the type of personality, I have to make my own mistakes. And I can actually remember when I was younger, I took my hard-earned babysitting money and I bought my younger sister a $70 like Roxy three-piece swimsuit. And nobody asked me, like, are you sure? Like, whatever. So we got home and I was like, oh shit, like I don't have a swimsuit. I spent all my money.
On hers.
I've never forgotten that story because it was just like, I literally took all I had, I spent it on somebody else, and then when it came time to go to the pool, I had nothing.
Yeah, that was like that. You were over a giver.
Yeah,
you could be an over giver or an over, just like everything else. And you're right. And then you ended up having to like wear something from the season before because you had given away too much. You know, that that's an interesting story, because I think we talk to people sometimes when we're doing budgets, and you look at it and you go through their expenses, and you know, it's like you've cut back everywhere. You are making so many sacrifices just to try and scrape by, but you haven't cut back on your giving.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility? Can you maybe donate your time or something else? Or just hold off on financial giving until you can get things going in the right direction again. And sometimes the answer is, no, I'd rather cut back everywhere else except, but it is possible to have giving and donating and things like that, that well-intended, great thing that's important, be the reason people are having financial difficulties.
Well, we've seen that a lot with, and I don't mean to put certain generations in there, but we see that a lot with seniors and the giving to church, and they're struggling with their just getting their retirement checks or their Social Security, and they're giving literally a quarter of their income to church or whatever it might be. And that's just, that gives them fulfillment. That makes them feel like they're giving where they want to. But again, at the, you could then have that conversation. You would say, like, your church would want you to be healthy financially and not putting yourself in harm's way. You can give a little bit less to the church and still make your house payment, right? But so with a money mindset like that, Katie, how would you, in your research, how do they flip the script in something like that?
The first step is to start journaling. And I know that not journaling is not everyone's favorite thing, but it's the easiest way to track how you're feeling about money in that moment. So for example, if you wake up in the morning and your routine is to go to Starbucks, journal about what that experience is like for you. Is that the only 5 to 10 minute break or quiet in your day? Is that what that Starbucks means to you? You know, write that down. I love the peace and calm when I pick up my Starbucks coffee. I know that the kids are taken care of. I know they're where they're supposed to be. And this coffee is my little me time. It's where I can have a few moments to myself before I walk into work and the chaos just ensues. But if you're maybe not a coffee drinker like me and you're like, okay, why am I stopping at Starbucks? Like, that might be a real good question, you know? And it's like, okay, maybe instead of spending $5 on green tea at Starbucks, I buy a pack of green tea and I use my kettle at home. Or even if I don't have a kettle, I can warm up the water in the microwave. There's little things that you can do that you can still get what it is that you like. So you can get that cup of coffee, you can get that cup of tea, but you can manage it. So like, I was going back to, would you rather? For me, I would rather buy Fabletics than go out and get fresh tea every morning. So that's kind of something that I budget for. I want to buy a house. I want to have kids one day. So these are all things I'm budgeting for. And then I'm weighing my options. So like, am I going to plan a trip around the world when the COVID pandemic lets up? Probably not, because I would rather have a house and I would rather work toward building my family one day. So those are kind of the things that I'm weighing everything against. Yours may be completely different. You know, you're
I'm
in a different
plan it, but I'm not going to go. I'm actually going to purchase it. I'm just going to plan it and like, oh, hypothetically.
Yeah. We know Felipe is going to go on a road trip, right? So that might be his thing. Like, would I rather, you know, go to this SDSU soccer game or football game and get tested 10 times, or we go on this road trip? I mean, it's just this constant like weighing of what it is you want. And kind of going back to what our previous guest Eileen was talking about, imagine you are the driver. Not that there's another angry driver out there. Imagine you are the driver. You're on your way to your short-term goals, your long-term goals. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff that pops up on the sides. It's going to be shiny objects and signs and sirens and other cars and other people. And if you're constantly comparing your car, how fast you're going, to other people around you, you're going to start crab walking and go sideways. You're not going to be moving forward because you're going to be constantly like, well, maybe I'll arrive faster in this car, or I'll arrive cuter in this car. And when you constantly change your goals around like that, you move sideways, not forward. So when you journal, you can really think about that. And when you ask yourself, would I rather have this or that? You can really think about, am I moving toward my long-term goals and short-term goals? Or am I just kind of getting sidetracked by something else?
That's really, I think that's very, very good advice. You said something that stuck with me, and I want to backtrack a second. You mentioned that I want Fabletics, and you'd really like that to put them on. But is there another reason for that as well? I mean, do the Fabletics make you feel better? Do they also make you feel like I'm going to work out more? Are there other avenues than just wearing the clothes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So for me personally, yes, I like to look cute no matter what I'm doing. Do I always look cute? Maybe not. Perception. But when I'm taking my dog out in the morning, if I have on like a baggy t-shirt, or I have on like loose pants, I don't feel good. So yes, I love the Fabletics pants with the pockets that I have on right now, because I can have, you know, everything I need. I can have my phone, I can have the house key, I can have the doggy poo bags, I can have everything that I need. And not only do I look cute, it's functional. So it works for me, right? Yeah. And there's other things. And I just picked Fabletics because it's a silly example. And it's something that I actually have to select every month, whether they're going to charge my card or whether I'm going to go in and skip that month. And when I skip, they ask me why. Is it not in your budget this month? And I pretty much always select it. Yes, it's not in my budget this month.
At least they ask that, though. The forethought of that is fantastic. And I just saw that Cyber Monday, they put their entire platform on sale, which I don't believe they've
done
before.
Don't remind me. Don't remind me.
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, here's why. I didn't buy anything on Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I didn't do any of that. So I feel like I just... everyone just got everything that I have for like 50% off. And I'm like, what about me?
I don't think it was as good as you think. I didn't buy anything either. My wife even didn't buy any. Oh, she did one. She bought a candle that she found for 50% off. But all the different things, we looked at it, and we had the list of the things that we know that the kids want for Christmas, or that we were going to do for each other. And if it wasn't on that list, we weren't going to do it. And we ended up buying nothing, which I think that's the first time in a long time that that's been the case. And, you know, I talk about Carrie on this podcast a lot and how she's so together, but one thing she's not, where she does is impulsive when it comes to purchases sometimes. Like, she gets into the mindset of like, I'm working hard, I should get this, and I'm going to buy it no matter what. Or I want to look at, she'll get something in her mind, like when it comes to furniture, right? She'll look at one piece of furniture and she'll say, I'm sick of that. I can't handle that anymore. And it will just, that's all I'll hear about. And that's all she'll research for the next however long. And the next thing you know, it's, hey, we're going to get a new couch. And I just laugh because I know that's just her personality. Yet she has now really, since COVID, for whatever reason, really kind of checked that, changed that a bit, where now it's, okay, you know what? This couch isn't as bad as I really think. She is flipping the script, even though that doesn't financially, keeping that couch isn't, I guess it is a financial decision because we're not going out and buying another ridiculously priced couch. Mm-hmm. But just by the decision of her having a different discussion about the way she sees that couch has saved us thousands of dollars. Just because now she has a better relationship with the couch. Now, if that isn't deep...
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, isn't it? That every decision we make is financially, not necessarily intentionally financially driven, but as you said, subconscious.
Yeah.
She has an eye for design, though, because we were in a Zoom meeting yesterday and you got a lot of compliments for your background. They even asked for you to take a picture and send it to them so that they could use it as their virtual background. So, you know, compliments to her.
You know what? I did pass that along to her and that made her feel pretty good because I make fun of her. I was making fun of her when she did it because our house is very gray and white and she likes that look, that kind of very sharp, very clear. And I always would laugh because when she got, you can see that the stockings in the background are all white, and our personal ones, that's where the personal ones used to be. The personal ones are now on our, going up our stair railing. And I'm like, you're getting rid of our personal. And she's like, those bright red, they're none of them. They're not coordinated and everything else. So, but again, for her, I go, okay, that works. And she's, you know, I don't have to go out and buy a new house right now because she has made our cozy little house what she wants. So it's the personalities you have to deal with within a relationship and the decisions that you make, understanding mm-hmm. and communicating about money, about, and really, because most of the decisions we make have a financial component, right? We talk about that all the time. Every decision we make has a financial component to it.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Having those discussions and fighting, quote unquote, fighting those battles, where would I have liked to see, you know, the stocking say Clay and Avery? And, well, I don't get to see them over my fireplace, but I do get to see them over here. Is that worth me getting into a fight over it, or get into an argument over it? Or is it just me looking at her going, you know what? It really does look nice. It really does look beautiful in here. We can let the sentimentality of that go a little bit and say, it's okay to change.
Right. And we make those compromises in relationships all the time. And it's the same thing kind of with money. It's just a compromise of, instead of Carrie getting a new couch, she's, I don't know. Are you going to take her to Hawaii when everything reopens?
Oh, heck yeah. We see eye to eye on that. And that's the thing. We see eye to eye on most things, but you find, and especially during COVID, we have found that, and I have found, and I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I've been married to Carrie for almost 15 years and we've been together 18. And yet during this COVID, we found out so much more about our everyday personalities. Like, I'm seeing her work personality on a daily basis, which I don't normally see. And she mm-hmm. sees mine. We come home and we talk and we know that part of us, but there's so much on a given day that we don't see, even though we've been together so long. I mean, if you think about it, Felipe knows the way I work every day way better than my wife ever did, because we work together every day, you know, where yeah. our spouses don't see that.
And normally sit next to Katie.
Yeah.
At the office, you and know,
it's interesting that I'm almost more in love with my wife after COVID than I probably was before, or maybe it's not more in love with, maybe just more respect of watching her process and the way her personality is during work. But that could go the other way, right? I can tell that I get on her nerves a little bit more, and it's probably not just me. It's just the fact that we're all in close quarters together for so much more than we're used to. And you don't have the outlet of your colleagues at your desk, you know, like we used to do this podcast in our office, right? And I miss that. I miss the us getting together, putting the headset on, laughing before and after. And we don't get that anymore. We get the Zoom and you guys all look great. And your art in the background, Katie, is amazing. And Felipe, your art has not changed one iota. No. Not once. Not it's well, let's Sarah go muchacho art. Has been well, see, there since we started.
Well, Barrington does make art, and Ignacio, but Sarah has her little corner. I'll have to send you guys a picture. And she's hogging up all the art. Because as you know, my desk at the office, there's not much art. There's a lot of stuff on it, but not a lot of art. And her little area at the office has lots of little things, art, pictures, all that stuff. So she's staring at a blank corner wall. You know, she's got a window, but she doesn't have all her little art. So she's been stealing all the kids' art and she's been taping it to the wall in front of her. And I don't get any of the art and none of it makes it to me. I get to look at it, when I work out, but that's about it.
It's just interesting how you can really mindfulness. I think a lot of, you know, if you go to therapy or you listen to podcasts and, or you meditate, I mean, we think about you hear mindfulness now come up quite a bit, and that's a lot of what we're talking about, right? With flipping the script or your money mindset. A lot of that has to do with all that, our emotions, everything we go through. If we just sit back, and I love the idea of journaling, and if you just that helped me with my mom when she passed away, and I wrote a letter to her just telling her how much I appreciated her, even though it's not going to her, just the outlet of writing it down and getting all that out, is amazing how much you can reflect and see.
Yeah. If you get it out of your head and onto paper, there's something that happens and you're able to almost mirror yourself in a way. And yeah, it's quite something, isn't it?
It's therapeutic.
It's very therapeutic.
It's therapeutic. And if you have that idea, Katie, you mentioned that you saw rich people, and I don't know, I think you probably, the younger person, saw rich people as greedy or, I don't know, mean or ungiving. You know,
I kind of pictured, do you remember the original Willy Wonka? What was her name? Faruka, like the rich girl who like,
oh yeah,
sipped on the golden eggers. I kind of picture like that kind of, like, that's what I thought of.
Bratty,
I thought of,
like, spoiled.
Yeah. Just like, okay. Yeah.
But now, do you see that? Do you see that now?
No. That's like the first thought that comes to me, cause it's been ingrained for so long. But my second thought is, Katie, you know, that's not true. There are tons of people that have tons of money and they take that money to do really good, positive things with it.
What about you on your, on a personal level, and where you see yourself going in the future, or whatever it might be? Do you have aspirations to be successful financially? And the reason I ask that is because a lot of people will think on both ends of the script, you know, I'm trying very hard. My son has been brought up in a home where he's never not had, you know, creature comforts, that, we've taken him through different parts of San Diego and driven around and shown my kids that, look, you might think we live in a small house, but you have no idea what other people are going through. The point I'm trying to get to is we work with people so often that they come from nothing, and it's been so entrenched in their minds that they're never going to be able to have money because nobody in their family ever has, or the neighborhood has never, you know, afforded any money. But yet, that can change. You can write your own script. Somebody's script and somebody's, the travels that they take might be longer to get where they want to go, but it can happen. If mentally you just say, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this, it will ultimately get you there. Right. So did you ever at a period of time thought, this is just where I'm going to be, this is the money I'm going to make, and I'm never going to get any further because that's just the way my family has ever always been? Or are you now, have you taken on that, I can do whatever I want. I can achieve it if I put in the work. If there's going to be luck along the way, but if I do these steps and I'm diligent about it, I'm going to get there.
Yeah. I mean, for 28 and a half years of my life, I was very much, this is just as good as it's going to get. If it gets a little bit better, then that's just going to be like, I was blessed and lucky or whatever. But in the last year and a half or so, I really kind of took power back from it. And I've been really kind of training my brain that anything is possible. Because I grew up in Minneapolis, and I used to dream about living in California. Like, truthfully, like, I would count down the winters. I'd be like, this is my last winter here. I am done. And I did it. I moved here. It didn't pan out the way that I wanted it to. But I was even thinking about how I met my husband. I wanted this beautiful, like, romantic fairy tale story. No, that's not what happened. Truthfully, we exchanged numbers on Tinder. So, like, it doesn't matter how it happens. It just matters if it happens, right? And I read a quote the other day. It was, the difference between millionaires and billionaires is that a billionaire will look at a problem and get excited because they're like, ooh, a challenge, something, you know, to test me, push my limits, just see how far I can go. And I think that's such a beautiful way to just kind of look at life and your finances. No matter where you're starting, where you can go is limitless. It's based on what you think you can do and how hard you're willing to work for it to some extent. I realize that there are some systemic issues that affect some people from achieving full success. But I truly believe that the mind is a lot more powerful than we've ever given it credit for.
And I think that's true. And you're right. There are systemic issues that make it more difficult for the path to be traveled for success. But I still believe you're right. But there are, you know, those that just say, I'm not going to let this stop me. I am not going to, just because society or the history has shown that I am going to be held back because of this, I am not going to let that happen. I am going to go forward. And I think in this podcast and other podcasts that I've listened to, we've heard these success stories. You know, mm-hmm. there was the incredible story of the lady in Australia who never, ever, no matter how bad it got, and it got bad, she kept saying, this is not my script. I am not going to let this happen. And she didn't let the people around her tell her this is the way it's supposed to be. We are going to go forward. And I find inspiration in that. And I find inspiration, even though my kids have been brought up not knowing what struggle is. You know, their idea of struggle is not letting me buy them Robux. Like, I'm a bad dad because I'm not giving her 10 bucks for Robux. I want to teach them that even if you are brought up in quote unquote wealth, that doesn't mean you're going to stay there. That doesn't mean that mom and dad or the family is going to be there to give you this support the whole way, the rest of your life. You have to trailblaze on your own. You have to make your own road. And we are preparing you, at least as parents, we are trying to prepare you to do that. We are going to give you every opportunity. Now, do we afford my kids more opportunities than a lot of parents are able to afford their kids? Yeah, probably so. And are there people that have a lot more opportunities for their kids than I am able to afford mine? Yes. But that's why I look at it like, we are going to do the best thing that we can for you. You have to blaze your own trail. You're going to be successful financially, happiness, whatever, by your own work. It's not going to be because of what mom and dad did for a living. It's not going to be because of what the house that you were brought up in. Just because you were brought up in a certain house does not mean that you are dictated that that's the kind of house you're going to live in when you grow up.
Yeah.
You may leave this house. You're going to graduate from college and you're starting from zero. If you graduate from college, congratulations to you. But, and they, that's the mindset I'm trying to get into my children. As much as I love to get that mindset into children that are brought up with not a lot of opportunity, that it's still available to you if you want it. You just have to do that. And I have to tell myself that every single day. You have to tell yourself that. Phil, you have to tell yourself that, is because our minds are constantly coming up with reasons that we can't do something.
Oh, yeah. Imposter syndrome is a huge part of that. And I think I want to go back to Twitch for a second, though, because I think it's such a great example of, like, all these people took something that they loved, like gaming, and they made an incredible side hustle out of it. Like, some people, they have full-time jobs out of it. And I only know this because of my husband, but, like, there are Twitch people that have, like, millions of dollars of, like, contracts to play.
Yeah.
And, like, what if that was Clay? Like, the $5 turns into, he's just like this, I don't even know what they call
these YouTubers that drive me crazy, that my son likes to watch, because they do nothing but put a video camera out in front of them. But that kid created a multi-million-dollar business out of it. So,
right. And someone created,
does it aggravate me that my son watches it and thinks it's funny? Because I think it's probably ridiculous. But again, that gets back to, who am I? My dad thought that my Star Wars figures were a little bit weird when I was a kid. Right. And then he would get angry when I bit the head off of him because that costs $7 or whatever it cost. But at the time, it was fun for me. So everything's relative. We have to sit back and look at it and train our minds to try to see things through other people's lenses. We'd probably be a much better society than we are today. And we'd all make better financial decisions if we had the education and the idea of taking a step back and journaling. Because so much of what we do, how we act, is emotional. How many times that I will spout off at my son or daughter because I, you know, or I'll, you know, be sharp with them because I'm not in a good mood. Is that fair? Not necessarily. So it's, if we all step back a little bit, flip the script. I love it, Katie. It was a brilliant blog. If you haven't seen it, you got to go to debtwave.org and check it out. Katie's work is unbelievably well written and well thought out, and has really great people that she interviews for these pieces. And it's a great topic, and it's something that we should come back to.
I was thinking too, speaking of flipping the script, what if you, every time you watch Twitch now, you think of it as like the new Wayne's World?
Oh, like, that's interesting.
You know, that's what I've been doing.
They were doing public access television from their basement. Yeah.
And like, do you remember at the beginning there, I think it's like, there's two people in bed and the guy's like, why do you watch this? And she's like, because it's funny. And it was just like,
Now you're taking me back. That's funny. That's interesting. I just heard a podcast with Mike Myers the other day, by the way, which was really, really funny. Rob Lowe's got a really pretty good new, if you want brainless and you just like to listen to like 80s, old 80s, 90s movies and listen to, that is a brainless, just chill and relax. That one and Smartless is fantastic as well. If you just want to kind of tune out and just laugh, that's good stuff.
I'm busy on my master class. That's going to get all my free time.
Did you guys hear all that rumbling in the background?
Not earlier. Just right now, yeah, but not earlier.
He's starting streaming now.
He's getting him. I don't know what he's doing. All right. Well,
we should have him on. We should do like a video game pod. You guys should maybe do like a video game podcast. And like,
you should get AJ on. We'll get Clay on. And we'll discuss why the how it is that we decide to spend our money on which games and what kind of things do you like.
See, I love video games.
I'm trying to get AJ to stream. I think he would be so good at it.
Oh, you guys.
You should do it.